All right, the U.S. knocking off Canada 2-1 in overtime to win a gold medal for the first time since 1980 in men's hockey on the 46th anniversary of the Miracle on Ice. The women already beaten Canada in the gold medal game, so the men and women hockey teams both getting themselves a gold medal. What a game. I mean, what a finish. Seeing Sidney Crosby out there sad, that much better. It's just great. You're going to watch the highlights of this and Jack Hughes scoring this game-winning goal in overtime for the next 4 years. And then when they play again in the Olympics, too. So that game is final. 2-1 is your final. The U.S., after Jack Hughes scores the game-winning goal, the U.S. men and women's hockey teams both winning gold medals today as we wrap up the Olympics. They're just going to show. I'm just going to sit and watch the gold medal ceremony as the watch parties all around the world. They're showing it. Everybody's celebrating. This is what makes the Olympics great, right? It is an event. You don't have to be a hockey fan. It's an event. And that's what makes it so great. All right, the Commanders are heading into an offseason now that matters a lot. And you want to talk about an event. Free agency is going to be an event. The draft is going to be an event for them. Whether they stay at 7 or not, whatever the case is, they've got a lot of needs. And I talked to Michael Jenkins of the Get Loud podcast with Fred Smoot about those needs that they're going to have this offseason. Michael Jenkins jumps on with me now, host of the Get Loud podcast with Fred Smoot, Game Day Garage as well. And Jenks, I you know, look, we know that this is an offseason where there's a ton of stuff the Commanders have to address, but they've got new coordinators on both sides of the football. I'm looking right now at the free agent or potential free agent class or quarterbacks that could be available this offseason for teams that do need them. And I will just say this, Jenks, thank God they have Jaden Daniels on this roster, because there is nothing out there that's tempting whatsoever a quarterback.
Woof. I mean, imagine looking at this slate and being like, these are the dudes, like, we need a quarterback and these guys.
Hey, we got Kirk Cousins at 38 years old, right? I mean, there you go, bring him back.
One, good for Kirk. Like, I think that we're going to look back. I don't think we appreciate enough now, like, how much this guy has just secured the bag again and again and again.
Yes.
It's unbelievable. And he's an option. That's the crazy thing, is that Kirk Cousins is an option right now for some teams. I mean, that's a very real thing. But then you look across the league. I mean, who would you – I was trying to think about this today. If I needed a quarterback – now, some guys like Kyler, I mean, you want to take on that contract. Certainly money's a factor as well.
Yeah.
I don't know who I go with. Like, maybe Daniel Jones? Like, the fact that I'm saying this, that I hear these words coming out of my mouth, is kind of ridiculous. That it's a real consideration. He looked good last year before the injury. Would you potentially consider Daniel Jones? But he was good. But then, I mean, where else would you go? Are you going to take on Aaron Rodgers? I mean, you look around and it's just, this league is bereft of quality quarterbacks right now. And even if you're looking at the draft, I mean, outside of Mendoza, it gets dicey really quick. Do you want to take a chance on Simpson? Maybe he's moving up some draft boards. I don't know. Carson Beck. I mean, my God, your franchise's fan base would just melt immediately if you took Carson Beck with a first round picker in the top 10. I don't know what the answer is, but you're spot on in that this quarterback class, whether it's the draft or free agents or guys you could trade for, it's pretty bad.
Well, listen, and this is why I've been saying, like, at least feel good if we're, you know, for us Commanders fans, I obviously include myself in this. I'm not going to be unbiased on this show. I never have been. You know that. This is my team, and it's been my team my entire life, and I've suffered through all of it, damn it, Jenks. I've seen the bad, and to be in an offseason where we go, at least we got quarterback, is a big deal. But, you know, if you look at, you mentioned some of those names. Dude, there's more. Now, Daniel Jones, I do think, is going to go back to Indy. That makes sense. I know he's hurt, but like that, he worked in that offense. I think that makes sense. Kyler Murray, Tua Tagovailoa are two guys that, if you trade for, are the Dolphins or the Cardinals taking on some of that money? Tua right now would be $99 million in dead money if the Dolphins were to trade him without taking on, it's an utter disaster where those contracts are. But let me give you some more names, Jenks. Let me give you some more guys that could be available. Anthony Richardson, who is just needs to get to development. The kid was just not ready from the beginning. Will Levis, Spencer Rattler, Tanner McKee. That's what we're looking at. Now, Malik Willis is interesting. There's a lot of teams that look at Malik Willis and say he looked better with the Packers. Maybe he's developed now and gotten that chance to sit and learn. So there's a chance that there's a level of trajectory there that teams would be intrigued by. But, dude, the rest of that, those names, it's all like, what could we get out of them? I've always called it this, Jenks. I've always called it Jay Cutler syndrome. Now, Jay Cutler obviously was a starting quarterback for a long time. And, you know, in Denver it worked and then wanted out. But there were always coaches that felt like they could get more out of him. And there's other quarterbacks that are like that, right? You see the physical gifts and you go, ooh, we could make this thing work. I would argue that could be somebody like an Anthony Richardson or a Will Levis, where there's a lot of physical gifts, arm strength, it's all there. But it's turning them into legit quarterbacks. That's the big responsibility. And if you need a quarterback now, that's not the timetable you want a young quarterback like that to be on.
Well, absolutely. And I think Willis is probably the most interesting of the bunch because he has maybe the highest upside. But also you're talking about a guy who has made 6 career starts. So you know how to – essentially he's a backup quarterback. I mean, I know he got a little bit of time in Tennessee and got better in Green Bay. But essentially you're talking about a backup, and we know how it is with backups. Backups shine for a few games and then they're the hottest thing in the market. I think he has the tools and maybe the potential – but you're also taking a big risk because we haven't seen a lot. Tua is just absolutely made of glass, and I think that he's one of those guys. We saw this with Mike McDaniel, that he absolutely has to be in the perfect system with the perfect guys around him. He gets rid of the ball quickly, so but if he's not in the perfect the system, then it's not going to matter. And also, we know about his concussion history. He's always hurt. And then Richardson, I just don't think he's an NFL quarterback. Like, I think if you take on Anthony Richardson right now, you're making a tremendous mistake. He is a great athlete, but he's not a quarterback. And I always think of this one quote that Mike Leach had so many years ago. And, of course, Leach was a quarterback whisperer, and he said something, and it just stuck out with me. And he said, and I apply this to Anthony Richardson, he goes, whenever you look at a quarterback, the one thing that you just can't teach is accuracy. You can teach footwork, and certainly you can teach the playbook, and you can teach arm angles and all these different things along with the natural athletic ability. But the one thing you just can't teach a guy is, hey, let's just make you more accurate. We'll try to work with you to make you, but it's hard to teach that. And Anthony Richardson, even going back to Florida, has never been accurate. So they took a guy who's an awesome physical specimen and a great athlete and said, all right, now we'll teach you to play quarterback. That's not the way it works. I think of all those names, he's probably the biggest mistake. I would just avoid him like the plague.
Talking to Michael Jenkins at JenksDC across all of the socials. We've talked a lot about the Commanders' needs on defense, and I mean, there's a reason why. They got a lot of needs. But, you know, the one thing that I feel like has gotten overlooked a lot is what they still do need on offense. And, I mean, number two receiver, unless Debo's back, and is that really at 30? Is that going to be the right answer for them? They could use certainly some depth at tight end if Ben Sinnott is the guy they still look at as like, we really believe he can be a number one tight end. You're still going to need more than that. I mean, I'd argue they need more in the backfield, even at running back right now. Even if Chris Rodriguez is back with Bill, like, I would love to see one of these. Honestly, they got the money to spend on somebody like a Breece Hall in free agency. I'd be okay with that. He's still only 24 years old, but let's take edge rusher out of the mix because that's such a common conversation, Jenks.
Yeah.
After that position, where do you look at as the next true position of need for the Commanders?
I think it's corner or safety, honestly. I mean, all three levels of that defense need help. And you're right, edge is the one place, and you have Bane and Bailey out of Tech, who I think is an absolute monster. And I kind of think that's where they're going to go because you have a guy who can set the edge, get after the quarterback. They could not do that at all last year, but they really need help at every single level. And the guy I really like is Caleb Downs out of Ohio State. Like, I think this guy is just a can't-miss guy. I mean, he's an absolute stud. I know he's a safety, he's not a corner, but it doesn't matter. He's one of those guys that's just so talented. He might be the most sure thing in the draft. It's just that teams don't like to take the safety position that high. They'd rather have a two-corner or an edge, like we were talking about, a quarterback, whatever it is. But, man, when you see a guy like that, if he's there at 7, and I think he will be, I think it would be really hard to pass up just because – I mean, I don't know how many times we saw the Commanders give up 20-plus points. I lost count last season. But they need help all over. But, my God, you know, if you can take a super talented guy at any level on that defense, I think you go with that.
Yeah, and I think that's really what it is. It's just we know that there's going to be an insane amount of focus and dedication to this defense, but you know, I think it's important to realize, like, they got needs, man, on both sides of the football.
And yeah, it's true.
Look, wide receiver is one of them, and you know, Jaden Daniels has been certainly campaigning. He was on Pro Football Talk with Mike Florio during the Super Week, and he talked about wanting an Arizona State teammate there, which really could be two. Rashad White, the running back in Tampa, is one, and obviously Brandon Ayuk is the other. I kind of feel like I feel like Brandon Ayuk's going to be here, man. I don't know what you've heard. I see this and I go, man, all signs point to Brandon Ayuk, even on a short-term deal. Maybe it's a one-year deal just because that's a position of need. There's a familiarity there. They've literally just been like back and forth, I feel like, constantly campaigning to make this relationship happen since before Jaden was even drafted.
Oh, doesn't it feel that way? And I mean, we've seen Adam Peters in the way he works before, right? He likes guys that he knows, that he's familiar with, that are hyper-motivated, mm-hmm. and it has some sort of familiarity with this team or people on this team, and he brings them in. So we saw that with Debo. We saw that with Devon Kinlaw, right, because he was the guy who drafted Kinlaw originally, brought him in. And he makes too much sense, I feel like, to pair with Terry, and they've got to have someone. I mean, last year, you know, when Terry wasn't playing, then it was just this mishmash of guys. I don't know, they've got some guys with potential there with Trey Burks and everything, but are you really going to bank your future on a guy who's been off injured despite, you know, a couple highlight reel catches last year? You can't do that. So I think IU could make a lot of sense and would actually be a really good fitness offense. And when you have someone like Jaden who is campaigning and feels comfortable with IU, then that just makes more sense.
Is Debo Samuel back?
That's such a good question. Mm-hmm. I think he is.
Okay.
I think. You could.
I know it comes down to price. Like I'll understand, obviously, like price. He could get priced out there. I get that.
I think they need him. I really think they need him right now because he was the one guy last year who A, looked like the Debo of old, and then B, gave them different options. I mean, he's one of one, right? He's a different type of player that we just don't see in the NFL, which makes him so talented. And I think in David Blau's offense, he could really be utilized in a way that might make him even more effective, particularly if they draft someone at receiver and if Terry is healthy for the whole season. Then all of a sudden that offense, and Debo in particular, becomes a lot more dynamic because think about how many times it was Debo and just a bunch of dudes on the offense. And when that happens, naturally, they're going to key on him, and so that's going to slow him down. So imagine being able to unlock him with other pieces in that offense where he could really thrive. But, yeah, it's just going to come down to price. But at the same time, we're talking about a team that has, what, the sixth most cap space in the NFL right now. Mm-hmm. So they have the money to do it, but, yeah, it's all down to price.
And, yeah, that's something to keep in mind, too, is that when you have a quarterback on a rookie-scale contract like that, what do teams always do? They spend money elsewhere. So there's a chance that maybe you pair Ayuk and Debo Samuel, and it's 49ers 2.0. Look, here's where I am on the Debo Samuel situation. One, he was a steal for a fifth-round pick. You're not giving up that much for what you got. And on top of that, I know it's mixed reviews on what you saw from Debo this year, but like if we're being honest with ourselves, Jenks, he was asked to be a number one receiver half the time with Terry missing a good portion of the season. That's not who he is. He's a versatile guy that can be used as a running back, that can be used as a slot receiver, that can be used as a return guy, all these different things. There is value to Debo Samuel in this organization. It just really comes down to the price, but like I do think that there is still a path for him to stay in Washington, and I think it's still a great addition for them, but they've got to just have more than him.
Oh, I think that's exactly it, is that imagine what he can do if he's put in his natural position, which is not to be a number one, right? You don't want to use Debo that way. He's a different type of receiver, but let me use Rashid Shaheed as an example for the Seahawks, right? Mm-hmm. When they made that trade from the Saints to bring him in, it was, okay, what are you going to do with this guy? And they found the perfect spot for him next to JSN, which is JSN's our number one guy. We're going to use you sporadically. We're going to use you on special teams. We're going to use you on third down because that's exactly the position that you need to play. And, of course, what does he do? He thrives in that position because he's put exactly where he should be. But if you forced him into a position like a number one spot, he's not going to be nearly as effective because it's not his game. I know Debo is a different type of player, but the point is when you try to put square peg, round hole, this will kind of work because he's naturally so talented, fine, but put him in the role he needs to be put in and then watch him work.
Talking to Michael Jenkins, Nick Ashew in for Chris Russell here on the Team 980. You know, when you look at, obviously, the draft, you mentioned this, and I do want to touch on this before you go. Seventh overall pick, at least as of now, kind of feels like edge rusher is the way to go unless Caleb Downs is there, and I think there's the temptation there. It's tough because you know, I don't think Bane is going to be there at seven. There's also questions about whether or not his reach isn't long enough. Like, right, we're getting to that point now. We start measuring hands and reach, and I'm surprised they aren't measuring some other things with guys, but we're not doing that, so it's not that awkward, Alicia. Like, it's just every little thing is broken down in the NFL draft, dude.
Oh, my
God. You get to this point where, and I understand some of it, right, because it's such a major responsibility and pressure that's on you with a special, with a first-round pick specifically, and when you have this need of somebody that's going to be an edge rusher and someone that's going to be a safety. But for me, because there are so many needs when it comes to that specific side of the football, if you have a really good edge rusher available, and there's a couple out there, if you have a Caleb Downs at safety, it's really just got to be who you think has the higher upside moving forward than just position of need there, because you just need talent defensively.
Yeah, I think it's going to come down to evaluation, right? I think they're going to lean edge just because ultimately when you have so many pieces to fill on the defense, you can make up for a lot of warts if you pressure the quarterback, right? I mean, all of a sudden, those corners don't have to sit back as long. Your linebackers can work, and they don't have to sit in coverage as long, like we saw with Bobby Wagner last year, where that was just a real issue in pass coverage. So, yeah, you can at least cover some deficiencies if you're pressuring the quarterback, and that's the one thing the Commanders just did not do, and they let really mediocre quarterbacks carve them up because they would just sit in the pocket. Like, I remember Sam Darnold last year. There's one play in particular where they're backed up, and he's just sitting there and sitting there. And, of course, Darnold's a very good quarterback now, as we know, but also just sat forever. And imagine someone who is lesser talented having that sort of time. And we saw that again and again and again. Getting after the quarterback will at least give them, I guess, a little bit longer leash to fix the other deficiencies on that defense, because it's not going to happen in just 1 year, right? This is going to be, unfortunately, as much as when I like it, it's going to be, I think, a multi-year project because they have so many deficiencies there.
Jenks, good to talk to you, buddy. How's the hair today? Good?
The hair is great. I also, it's looking actually pretty good today. Also, I just want to point out, I got my ex back. Okay, I got hacked last week. And if anyone's wondering, I did not purchase a new Mercedes for myself based on my exploits in crypto. The grind is real. Got that crypto back and bought myself a new Mercedes for Valentine's Day.
I can't tell you how many messages
I got it back.
Jenks, I can't tell you how many DMs I've gotten from people that have just been like, I'm applying for this grant, or I'm this, and I'm just like, hey, Jenks, you've been hacked, buddy. Just so you know, your Twitter's been hacked.
My favorite message was, hey, Jenks, I think you may have been hacked, but if not, congratulations on the new car.
See, I didn't get it. I didn't get anything about a new car from you. It was something about, I can't remember what it was. It was some sort of ambassadorship you were a part of. I was like, this is not true. This is a hack.
No, I haven't had a car in 20 years, by the way. Anyone knows me, like, because I live right in the city right here in D.C. But yeah, it was very embarrassing, and it took actually, long story short, reaching out to a pharmaceutical representative here in D.C. who knew someone in pharmaceuticals at X, who hooked me up with someone at X support, and it still took a week.
Wow, it should not be that difficult, but I'm glad you got it fixed, buddy. Good to have you back. He's at Jenks DC on all of the socials, including X/Twitter, and it's actually him again. Good to talk to you, man.
See you, buddy.
All right, Michael Jenkins, Get Loud Podcast with Fred Smoot, Game Day Garage as well. And here we are now with the U.S. I'm watching this at the same time, getting a nice gold medal around everyone's neck, beating Canada in men's hockey, already beat Canada in women's hockey. What a way to end the Olympics. First gold medal for the U.S. since 1980 in men's hockey on the 46th year anniversary of the Miracle on Ice. What a game. I mean, this just could not have been more entertaining, especially, you know, clearly with the way this whole thing ended. I just, so great to see those sad Canadians. Love it. So sorry. So sorry. All right, Nick Ashew on The Fan and the Team. The one thing I will say is that after you get gold medals like Team USA is right now over Canada winning that gold medal game, then they give you a little stuffed animal and it's just weird. That's the weird part of this ceremony. I know it's some sort of mascot. They always have a mascot that's part of the Olympics, but given a bunch of hockey players after a gold medal, a little dog toy, it just looks weird. But that's what they did. Now U.S. is skating around, celebrating that gold medal. Both men's and women's hockey winning themselves a gold medal over Canada. First one for the men since 1980. I know that. You know when you hear a fact in sports and, like, you know it's true, but you haven't heard it said out loud in a long time? It's crazy to think that it's been since 46 years ago on the anniversary of the Miracle on Ice that the U.S. won this. Now they're taking their picture, and there you go. So men's and women's hockey both getting a gold medal over Canada, just like men's and women's basketball getting gold medals over France. And I know this is bigger in the sense that it's Canada and hockey, but still interesting to see both sides, men's and women, in some of the main sports that we have in this country that we're used to from a professional side of things in the Big Four, then watching us go and win it, and we can be a yes us guy here. I love it. Beautiful to see. So there they are as they celebrate their gold medal with their stuffed animals and their dog toys. So, Cameron, maybe you got a chance to see Cameron Boozer, the Duke forward, obviously Carlos Boozer's son, against Michigan yesterday at Capital One Arena. A lot of people obviously doing the whole wanting to tank for Cameron Boozer. There's a lot of, listen, the Wizards have opportunities if they've got a top three pick. Boozer is one of them. DeBance is another. You know, Darren Peterson's another, and those are, who knows what these workouts will look like, and somebody may rise up the board. But top three pick, the Wizards are in a really, really good spot. Lose for Booze, becoming a thing a little bit here. But watching Cameron Boozer yesterday for Duke, I mean, it doesn't matter whether if you're the Wizards and you're looking around and go, we got Anthony Davis, we got Alex Saar, and then we got another big in Boozer. Doesn't matter. You draft the most talented player depending on where you are there. If you think he's the best fit, you figure the rest out later, because Anthony Davis is not going to be a long-term part of your future anyway. I know the contract's a little longer, but realistically, I mean, you could also draft Boozer and then trade Anthony Davis. I mean, really, that's what it comes down to. Or maybe you trade him in a year when his contract is less, or whatever the case is. You draft the most talented player available. And, you know, we heard from LeBron James earlier and how he's looking at the Wizards and where they are and what this rebuild has looked like. And, yeah, look, you got to go through the suck, right? You got to go through the suck in a rebuild. But this is a real rebuild. And this is what it looks like, and this is what you need to do if you want to win in the NBA. And I know a lot of people suffered through all the other years. Like, right, we watched the Wizards before with the Bradley Beal, just keep giving them max deals, going, why are we doing this? Just gut this thing from scratch. So it's, there's an understanding. And listen, D.C. is a hoops town too. I will say this because too many people overlook this. D.C. is a hoops town. And there are smart basketball people. There are people that care about basketball, care about the Wizards, care about college basketball, care about the grassroots, the high school basketball. So much talent. D.C. is a hoops town as much as it is football. The Commanders just dominate as a brand. But when the Wizards are winning, and there is a feel at least of there is something on the rise, and you feel like there's more to it than just spinning your tires in the mud of NBA purgatory, there is an excitement around this team. And right now, the one thing I've noticed, there is more confidence in the Wizards and their trajectory than the Commanders. Now, the one thing the Commanders have that is an advantage is that you got your quarterback situation figured out, at least right now. Again, I will leave it open to questions on Jaden Daniels, specifically health. That's fair. But the Commanders aren't looking for a quarterback this offseason in a market that's just bad. It's just bad. So that's one advantage the Commanders have in their rebuild that's going on right now. And would I feel differently, even though I am more confident and more excited about where the Wizards are than where the Commanders are? Yes, I am. But would I feel differently with the Commanders coming off a 12-win season? Yeah, of course. I mean, perspective is part of this. The Wizards haven't had that big jump of a season yet, but we knew that that was a paper tiger for the Commanders on a last-place schedule with a team that isn't even the same coming into this year, and they dealt with a ton of injuries. Do I think that this Commanders team is probably going to end up being maybe a 9-win team next year if they do the right things this offseason and they stay relatively healthy with what they already got on the roster? Yeah, I think that's fair. We could be talking about them being a wild card team, and you know the possibilities are there. Jaden obviously has to stay healthy, and there's a lot of factors there. But if you look at where the Wizards are, yes, they're farther along in their rebuild. But the one thing I have found is that you tend to have more confidence as a DC sports fan and the Wizards right now and where they are and excitement around where this is than where the Commanders are. And it's been a long time since it's been that way. Again, the Wizards have to show that there's another step. They have to show that there's growth. They have to show, and I'd argue they already have in some ways, trading for Trae Young and Anthony Davis. Whether you like those trades or you think that they're long-term pieces or not, and extensions are going to be part of the conversation, probably more so with Trae Young because he'll be in a contract year next year because he's picking up that $50 million option this offseason. But if you're the Wizards, you get a top three pick, you've got all this young talent, and they also continue to take the next step, because that's the key. It's not just about the talent you've got on the roster right now. It's what do all these young kids look like next year? What does Alex Saar make another leap from year two to year three the way that he did year one to year two? What is you know, Keyshawn George look like? Trey Johnson, Bilal Coulibaly, whoever. Does somebody else take a big leap? Like a Will Riley, right? There are names that may put themselves more in the conversation as part of the future and the foundation of this team as we move forward that aren't necessarily in the conversation now. But then you add a top three pick, potentially franchise-altering, true potential superstar to the mix. And we're talking about the Wizards, at least in the play-in. It would be an absolute failure for the Wizards to not at least make the play-in tournament next year with the roster that they have. And that shows then that there's growth, and that shows you, hey, they're actually doing something that they care about. They're doing something that's meaningful. They're doing something that's more than just a perpetual rebuild forever, because rebuilds suck, but if you're growing and climbing through all of that suck, right? It's Shawshank Redemption, and you're climbing through the sewage pipe, and you're trying not to throw up, and it's just awful, and it's, oh, but in the end, the freedom. Oh, the rain coming down on you, and you're free, and you have, that's where the Wizards are so close. Next year is that freedom out of the sewage pipe. That's where they could be. But you've got to show that continued trajectory. And right now, you should feel really good about where they are. I do, and it seems like really a lot of people do. A lot of people do in this town when it comes to the Wizards. But that momentum is key. And, you know, that there was a CBS Sports article this week ranking them the 22nd best front office in the NBA. They've done a better job than that. They have. You should feel good about it. So we'll see. All right, Nick Ashew on the Fan and the Team. All right, the U.S. beat Canada in men's and women's hockey. First gold medal for the men's hockey team since 1980. 46 years to the day and the anniversary of the Miracle on Ice. They get that win 2-1 in overtime over Canada. Jack Hughes with the golden goal. And now we've moved on to four-man bobsled on the last day of the Olympics. Germany going down the bobsled. And all I can think of is Cool Runnings. I'm telling you, the movie still holds. If you want something to watch at some point soon when you're still in Olympics mood, go watch Cool Runnings. Absolutely worth it. Without question. But here we go. I don't even know. Is this live now? Are we like back to live events? Are we just replaying stuff now? Metal, do you know?
On my TV, it does not have the little live thing in the corner under the peacock. So that usually means it's reruns.
Looks like that's what I've got too here. So do you have the bobsled on too? Is that what you're watching?
Yeah.
All right, so yeah, we're on the same thing then. So there you go. So now it's down to bobsled, where the crazy people are, the really fast thing. I mean, it is just, I love the Winter Olympics, man. I'm going to miss them. This was fun. But then we got the World Cup coming up this summer. Another big event where people suddenly have all this pride, even in a sport they don't care about. Everybody cares about hockey on a day like today. Everybody cares about soccer in the U.S., although it's a little different for men's hockey for the U.S. versus, you know, where we sit with that. Look, people care about stuff that when there's winning and there's hope and when apathy is the worst thing in sports, right? When fans just don't care about a team. You're either really angry and passionate about it, or you're really happy and excited about it. And, you know, for the longest time, that's where the Wizards were. There was a lot of apathy around the team because there was no future. There was no hope. There was a low ceiling. It might have had a higher floor in a sense where you went, oh, they could get to the play-in tournament. Were you really excited about those teams that were just at the very end led by Bradley Beal and nobody else? No, you knew the ceiling was lower. But I think that's why we're seeing so much more of this excitement around the Wizards. And it's why, you know, really notice that there is a level of passion for the Wizards and an understanding that, yeah, they're still young, and yeah, we want them to lose games. Stop beating the Pacers, by the way. That's not helpful. But, you know, there is a future here that you didn't have necessarily before. And embracing the suck in a rebuild works as long as it's not a long-term thing. And it's not, obviously not forever. That kind of changes things. But I'm telling you, people care about hoops in D.C. too. They really do. Now, granted, the Commanders have a really aggressive offseason. That's all going to change things. Hearing from Michael Jenkins earlier, I mean, look, there's a lot of decisions this team has to make offensively and defensively. But the Commanders go out and get a couple of edge rushers, draft somebody, trade for Max Crosby, maybe. There's going to be a lot more excitement around the rebuild of that team. So, like, right now where we sit, it's very clear that there is a lot more in terms of the excitement around the Wizards and what they're building and LeBron and Steve Nash talking about it and all that. But the Commanders go out, get a couple of edge rushers, draft well, maybe trade back, get a couple of other picks, aggressive in free agency to a point, add themselves some weapons on offense, which is also what they need. We could be back in a very different position very, very soon. And, you know, there's, for all the talk about the Commanders and the defense, and again, all those needs are very much needed. Like, they are true. The offense has needs too. Because Zach Ertz, I mean, I don't know, Zach Ertz does not want to retire coming off of a knee injury like he had. But what does that look like? Is he part of the roster at all next year? Do you go out and get an Austin Hooper so you have a little more of a veteran presence there? He's, what, 31? And give Ben Sinnott more opportunity to go out and draft somebody else. They go get some of these other tight ends that are going to be on the free agent market. Right? There's some good names out there in that. And there's also some names that will work in the running back. And I know that running back's very – it's a fickle position, right? It's a fickle beast, if you will. Because if you look, there's some names that are available. A Breece Hall, a Kenneth Walker – a little bit older, but Travis Etienne, he's 27. But you're in that range now where those guys could do something for this team and provide that veteran presence in the backfield where they'll need it. They're going to run the ball more. The Commanders will. And if you've got Bill, and maybe they bring Chris Rodriguez back. I'm starting to think Chris Rodriguez won't be a part of the team because did we see him out there consistently? We were begging for more carries for Chris Rodriguez. And he usually answered. Yet it just never stayed consistent. But now you've got David Blau, new philosophy on offense. Is he part of the offense moving forward? And Chris Rodriguez with Bill. And, you know, maybe you draft another guy late in the draft and bring in somebody that's on the free agent market. The Commanders need somebody else in that backfield, though. You can't work with what you've got. It's, again, it's also why I see value in somebody like Deebo Samuel. Again, every single move the Commanders make this offseason is based off of money first, right? It's all about value. Deebo back for the right price is worth it. Deebo Samuel back at $18, $19 million a year at 30 years old is not going to happen. But if they get Deebo at a cheaper price and a shorter deal, maybe it's 3 years, but only the first 2 years are guaranteed. You're paying them $15 million a year. They can afford that. And they've got a lot of needs, but they've got a lot of cap space too. And you don't have to pay your quarterback yet. And you want some weapons around your quarterback. And it's not just wide receivers. It's not just former Arizona State teammates of Jaden Daniels. It's also running backs that can take the pressure off of them and not have to throw the ball 40 times a game and be able to establish the run early so they're not playing from behind like, God forbid, just happened every single week it felt like, and that happening again next year. You don't want that. So if you're the Commanders, you have a similar amount of needs, not as many, but a similar amount on offense. And listen, when you have a quarterback like Jaden Daniels and a new offensive coordinator, you've got to get those pieces in place that are going to help build that offense up, establish the foundation, and then add the layers to it. And they're going to want versatile guys still, even without Cliff Kingsbury as the offensive coordinator anymore. Look at how many teams in the NFL have that type of talent that can do more than one thing. Look, I've said this for a while. The rebirth of the running back is similar to the rebirth of bigs. You have bigs come back in the NBA. Now they're some of the best players in the NBA, but they're all 7-foot unicorns. One of them looks like he's been stretched out 5 inches more than he should, and Victor Wembanyama's another's got a dad bod and practically plays point guard at 7 feet, Nikola Jokic. And it's just like, what happened here? The big was gone for a while and was kind of phased out of the game, and now it's back. But the evolution of the big and kids that grew up and wanted to, knew they were going to be big and you're going to be 7 feet tall, you got to learn how to play more like a guard. Well, if you look at running backs now, it's similar. Not all of them, but the best running backs in the NFL, the ones that have the most value, Jahmyr Gibbs, a Bijan Robinson, still a Christian McCaffrey to this day, they're all receivers too. You can line them up in the slot. They can catch balls out of the backfield. All of that matters to where the value of a running back goes back up if they are a weapon for you. Jahmyr Gibbs is going to get paid. And everybody laughed at the Lions and the Falcons when they drafted Jahmyr Gibbs and Bijan Robinson in the first round. You're like, why? These guys are really good. Like, we need to just stop pretending that a running back can be just one thing. Hand the ball off, run it up the middle. No, if you've got some speed, you've got some talent, but the size to go with it, if it's the right combination, that's the future of the running back, and that's where the run game matters more in the NFL again. And as more and more teams set two deep safeties and you're trying to stop the deep ball and you're trying to force teams to run the ball or dump it off over the middle, then you've got to counter for that offensively. And that's what we've seen more and more from defenses in the NFL is just that. And that's what the Commanders need to think about this offseason. I mean, Bill is supposed to be one of those guys, right, as a receiver too, but they're going to need more than that. But the rebuild could feel a lot different for the Commanders if they have an aggressive offseason, but it's very clear right now there is a lot of excitement around the Wizards, without question. All right, men's gold medal, women's gold medal, Olympic hockey. Great day as we wrap up the Olympics. Nick Ashew on the Fan and the Team. Well, it looks like that rain has officially turned to snow. Metal, Chris, is it snowing there in the main studio?
Nah, it's still rain here.
I got snow here by me. Nick Ashew on the Fan and the Team. I'm at Nick Ashew on all of the socials. Of course, we were on the Odyssey app as well. Yeah, it's starting to snow. Probably won't stick, though, which is fine. I'm done. I'm done with snow. I'm done with the stupid groundhogs all saying that we're going to get six more weeks. I don't need it. I'm good. This has been the coldest freaking winter ever, and I'm over it. So seeing that all that snow, if it just is rain, then we're good because it already washed all the junk away. And I'm fine with that. I don't need any more of this. We're good.
This is D.C., so you know we always get that, like, false spring, and then, like, a week later we get, like, an inch of snow.
I know.
Every year. And that happens in March pretty much every year. So.
March is always tricky because March you have those days. Well, yesterday was nice and you walk outside and I'm like, all right,
yeah,
let's
fake
go.
Fake spring,
Yeah, get a little sun. I got outside, got the dog on a walk, went and got lunch with the wife, had a good time. And then I was like, well, I know what the next day is going to be. And sure enough, I mean, yeah, it's disgusting outside. And this is what we deal with. We act like it's different every year. I know it's always similar, but this has been colder than usual. Can we agree on that at least? This has been a colder winter than usual.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we had, 2 weeks of just below freezing right after a huge snow. That is not normal for this area.
Sorry. I had something was blowing up on my phone. So here's one thing I'll pull back the curtain. So our house runs on propane, and that's how our water's heated. That's how our stove is, gas stove, fireplace, all those things. Just ran out last night. And the gas guy is literally outside calling me while I'm doing this. If you need to tell you, okay, so good. Yeah, why am I going to call you back? You filled it. I don't know what they want here. Go knock on the door or something. This guy's literally like calling me, leaving me a voicemail. It's fine. So anyway, I don't know what they want, but I'm just going to talk about it live on air. I don't really care. This is where we are, and all I could think of was, oh, good, that would be great if the power went out, we had no gas, and then we can't run our fireplace and all those things. Nobody cares about it, but I'm just doing this live on air because this is how it's gone today for me. It's been a thing. I'm over it. I'm over the snow. I'm going to be the person that complains about it because I know most people are. I'm just done. Snow was cool when I was in, like, high school, middle school, all that, and they canceled school, and yeah. And now it's just inconvenient, and it's disgusting, and when it was encased in ice for a month and it stayed below freezing, nobody wanted any of that. So this is the world we live in. But anyway, glad I got that out of my system. So we're fine now. Now we move on from that. I'm going to soak up the last day of the Olympics, though. I'm going to be honest with you. It was great to watch that gold medal game. Great to watch the U.S. win in men's and women's hockey. Gold medals for both, beating Canada. But now we got some bobsled going on. I'll soak it up. This is good because once it's done, it's done. But then we get into, NFL combine, and we're getting into free agency and franchise tags and the draft and all those things. And you get back to football. And look, it's a pivotal offseason for the Commanders. Right? Like, we're going to be immersed in this. I mean, you already are. That's the thing, is like, when you know your team season's done, we get spoiled with that 12-win season, and you're just thinking at that point, any other wins are a bonus. Anything else becomes something you're really excited about. And then this past season, it's this complete letdown. So it's, well, been here before, really excited about the offseason, but it does feel different. I mean, listen, it's certainly a better situation for the Commanders and the front office and the people in charge. I know this year was tough, and I know you're pissed off at it, and know we expected more than 5 wins. And, yeah, look, it exposed the weaknesses that this team has, and one of the biggest weaknesses was depth. Like, people can throw in the whole, next man up. Oh, yeah, just next guy up, it's football. Stop. It's not, like, if you have the right depth and you've built out a roster over years, there's a reason why the 49ers have survived so many injuries. Electrical substation aside, they had a lot of depth, and they built up a roster. And, you get to this point where, you start to see it and go, okay, we now have to start adding more than just talent on the front end. It's got to be the back end of the depth chart. That's something that absolutely matters, too. And, this is what makes this offseason so important for them, is because you're going to deal with injuries. I mean, no matter what, there's going to be a level of injuries that are there. And when you have those injuries, it's then a question of, did you draft well in the 5th and 6th round? Did you find guys that undrafted free agents? And that's the thing about the NFL, too, is you can rebuild the team faster in that sense because there's more options and more opportunities to be able to get players available from other options besides a first-round pick. The NBA, like, first-round picks matter, and after that, second-round pick, maybe somebody steps up and there's an opportunity there. But that's one of the reasons why you have so many worst-to-first seasons over the course of time, and it's a little bit quicker at times to rebuild in the NFL, is that you can have a last play schedule, have an aggressive offseason. I mean, listen, the Patriots were really aggressive defensively. That's one of the reasons why their defense was so strong this year. But they also had Drake May in his first full season play like an MVP and was the runner-up for MVP, at least in the regular season, right? But then it's going to be tougher. You have that first-place schedule. It's the matchups are different. Everything is different. You have to keep that momentum moving forward. But you can find talent in the fifth and sixth round of the NFL draft that contributes right away, a linebacker that people forgot about from a smaller school, undrafted free agents. Now, it's not every time. It doesn't always hit. But you have more opportunities at more positions, too, where players are sometimes overlooked. There's more football out there in programs where guys just don't get seen, and they could be a really good linebacker, but they're playing at a smaller school, and all of a sudden they get an opportunity in the NFL, and you're like, whoa, okay, never mind. We found ourselves a guy. You just don't get that as much in the NBA. It's tough, and that's part of the reason why the NBA years ago just shrunk everything down to two rounds, right? Draft is two rounds. That's it. They're talking about adding a third. I mean, maybe. If you're going to do that, it's what you can get guys and stash them overseas. I mean, it's very different. I understand the rebuilds for the Wizards and the Commanders. It's very different in terms of where they are, the timetable, the leagues, all those things. But the one advantage the Wizards or the Commanders do have is that you've got quarterback, at least now settled. And that's the hope, is that continues and Jaden Daniels stays healthy, and there's plenty of other questions there. But that's the hardest thing to fill, more than anything else. But on the other side of things, if you look at the Wizards, if the Wizards are able to draft a superstar and top three pick, that's the equivalent of finding your franchise quarterback in the NFL, is that star number one, future all-star, perennial all-star that you could get in this draft. So it kind of balances them out a little bit. Look, we could just be in a spot, this might be great, where the Wizards and Commanders both have really bright futures, and that would be spectacular. Just because the Nats aren't going anywhere, and Ovi's going to retire at some point soon, and might be counting on the Wizards and Caps to, or Wizards and Nats to really, God, Wizards and Commanders, if I could use my brain, that would work. So, all right, we'll hear from Ben Strober next. Nick Ashew on the Fan and the Team.